Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Okay, my name is Shirley, and I'm in, I do the congregational care. And people say, what is a congregation? What do you do? Well, if there's a need in the church, if there's an illness or a birth or a memorial, we have a group of ladies that get together and we cook and bring meals. And at the memorials, we help serve. And there is a sign-up sheet in the back. If you would like to help out, we'd really appreciate it. And also, I also help clean the church. I have a wonderful, wonderful team that we clean the last Friday of the month. And if you would like to also help clean this church, trust me, it doesn't clean itself. And this is a big church. And, you know, it has to be clean. And maybe people think that we have a cleaning crew that comes. A company that comes in, but maybe when we get the new sanctuary, we'll have a, maybe, yeah. Yeah, we have to. but we clean and we have a good time, and there's always something special that we raid the refrigerator. Pastor knows, leave us food and we're fine. Just give us cookies and we can work. We joke around a lot, but we have a good time. And, I know Rosie needs help, her and Pastor come and clean. And I personally, and I know many of you have heard me say it before, I just feel that our pastor and his wife do not need to be cleaning toilets. They clean and diligently do it, but they do so much behind the scenes that people don't realize what they do. I know from experience that our family members, you know, I call Pastor, and he's on his way to the hospital. And when my husband was in the hospital a couple of years ago, Pastor Henry was there daily, you know, visiting with him and praying with him and praying with me. So there's a lot that he does that they both do that we don't know about. And I just feel that they kind of need some rest. So if you know anybody or you would like to help clean, there's a sign-up sheet in the back or contact Rosie. You know, and it's when you serve, it's not glory for you. And I can tell you that because when Pastor a while back gave a sermon about serving, you know, and to pray about it, I kept thinking, Lord, I want to do something. I don't want to be just a warm seat here in the church. This is my home church. This is my home. And we're family. And, you know, we need to step out. And this is not easy, getting up here and talking. I'm shaking. I've got a grip on this mic that you wouldn't believe, you know. But, you know, God has given me a boldness and a love for my church family. And you do feel fulfilled when you've done cleaning the church and you're going, it looks good. We did a good job, ladies. You know, and you just kind of feel that it's from the Holy Spirit because we can make all kinds of excuses why we don't want. I'm busy. I've met my kids, and we all understand that. But if you know an hour or two, you know, a month, or if you'd like to bake something, you know, give us your number and we can pick it up. So again, you know, I want to thank you, and thank you everybody for the support, and also the mighty women. Yeah. You know, Stella does on Thursdays a great job. She really does. And she has grown in the Lord and her boldness. And, you know, so many exciting things are happening. And, yeah, I just thank God for her, and I thank God for my church family. And I've told this to Pastor and to Rosie. I've got squatter's rights, yeah, and I'm not going anywhere, and you're my family, and I love each and every one of you. Thank you.
Good morning. So this week, I had sometimes I have a word, but I had another sentence this week, And I'm not usually a big gamer, but I actually have been playing this really cool game, Journey Toward Jesus, and I actually bought the expansion pack so I wouldn't have the timer. And so it ends up being more like, I don't know, a learning session, and I can have fun and totally delve in. And anyway, one morning, usually around 5, I get up, wake up, and that's like my time with God. I always thought it was just the shower, but no, apparently it's 5 every morning. So it's like a whole sentence is put together, and I know all the verses, and I knew them all separately. And sin separates us from God. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus is our way and our truth and our life. The way, the truth, and the light. You're right. You do shake up here. Definitely shake. Shake and grip the mic really, really tight. I was playing this game, and I found something that I was very surprised at, because I always felt, okay, I know the Ten Commandments and, you know, don't murder. That's kind of an easy one. But there was something in 1 John that said that if you hate your brother, you are a murderer. And I thought, wow, you know, I think that was 1 John 3:15. Because I've always loved John 3:16. You know, we all, you know, for God so loved us that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, right? And so I was over in 1 John, and it says, no greater love that they have than to lay down your life. And I thought, okay, so you literally have to die, you know, for somebody. But I think it was bigger than that. Bigger than, I think it was like now, like your ego, laying down that ego, you know, serving others and not serving myself, you know, to just serve, submit, you know, it all flows together. There's a big flow if I just listen. And so Jesus did that for us. He's our way. And there's times that I really have to test the spirit and know that it is for Jesus, you know, because there's spirits out there. We have to test those spirits and make sure that we are listening, we're plugged in, that we are plugged into the vine so that we can be the fruit. That was way more than I wanted to say. I only had a sentence, and I just, sorry for rambling, but thank you. Thank you all. Just stay plugged in, because we are his hands and feet. All in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me tell you that when you go through things in life, things are not always going to go exactly the way you plan. Just because you give your life to God and you plan for this to be this easy road, it doesn't change things. Things are going to come in life and they're going to be lessons. They're going to be great lessons for things that he has for you, ways to prepare for you to move forward. But you got to be willing to move. So many times we're stuck within these confined walls of a church. Not because the church confines them, not because God confines them, but because we do it ourselves with this earthly way of thinking that this is the way that things should go. That's not it. He wants to give you freedom in those areas. He wants you to realize that sometimes the battle will be won with something that's unexpected. Sometimes what makes logical sense to us is not necessarily the path that he's going to tell you to take. There's going to be times that he tells you, no, I want you to go this way. There's a song that I have just
I think my kids are probably sick of it and my husband's probably sick of it, but it has been on repeat because there's a part in it that I like that talks about how it can be really nice with the big show, right, of music and the way things go, but that sometimes we just gotta go back. We just gotta remember, we gotta go back. Because it's not about those things. It is about, the song even says, it's about the hallelujah. And it is about that. It's about coming and meeting with him. It's about hearing the things he has for us, because they're not, what may seem small is actually big. You know that we had a worship night here on Friday, and it was this small little group of people. But I know for me, there was some breakthrough. Do you know that I worship in tongues very often at home? Because it just flows. But there has been something about doing it here. One, I think it's nerves. Two, there was always this thing in the back of my mind. Ooh, I don't want to offend somebody. I don't want to make somebody upset. I don't want to make somebody get up and walk out. But when I did it on Friday, it was like this release. Because what I'm worried might offend is what he's saying might bless. Because we have to realize that what we're thinking is not always what he's doing. He has a plan and he knows what he's doing. Every single time we come here to the grocery store, to your work, to your school, every single place you're at, he knows exactly who you're walking in with, who's gonna be around you, what's gonna happen. And it's if you can meet with him, if you can commune with him regularly and get that out of your head, you begin to see some things happen. Because what we allow ourselves to think is the problem, the issue, the, I don't know, the fear, all of those things. He's saying, just follow me. It's so simple, right? It's so simple. But we make it difficult. We make it an issue. We struggle to get out of the way a lot of times. Man, it's what I love about this song. Shake up the ground of all my tradition, all of the things that I feel that I'm used to doing, that are routine, shake them up. And I love it because it's what he does try to do with us. He goes in and he starts to give us these things that are gonna seem contrary to the way we think, because they're no longer things of this world. They're part of the kingdom. And if we realize that those nuggets, those things that he's giving us, if you would allow for the Holy Spirit to move, they'll become revelation in your life, which then changes the way you walk. It really does. It'll change the way you walk. It'll change the way you view things. It'll change the way you tackle an issue when it comes towards you. It'll change the way you love somebody. It'll change the way you walk into church every week. It'll change the way that you walk into work every week. It'll change everything in your life, because it's not just words on a page. It's life, and life more abundantly. It's the promise of I can do all things through him. It's the promise of healing in your life. It's the promise of the burdens and the yoke being lifted. It's the promise of every single thing that he's given you that begins to come forth in your life. Whew. So shake up the ground. Let's allow him to shake up the ground. Let's invite it in our lives. God, shake it up and show me what needs to change. Because as we begin to walk in the kingdom is when we begin to have an effect on this city the way we've always wanted. It's not by our might, but by his. We're more than conquerors through him, not by us. So we got to start learning to get out of the way so that he can start showing us some things. We got to start learning to stop fighting every single thing he's placing in our life and allow it to happen. Because as we allow and we walk, it's just like the Bible tells us, precept upon precept, every single thing he gives you will build you towards what he has for you.
Can there be anything better than coming before the throne of God? And that we bring him praise, that we bring him worship where he is worthy of. Can there be anything better? No. Can be anything better than when he meets us just where we are today, with no condemnation, with no reservations, that he loves you just where you are today. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are with us, and Lord, that we can honor you, Lord, just where who you are to us. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you for loving this church body, loving me as an individual, loving each one of us as an individual. Thank you in Jesus' name. Does anyone else have a word? Because this is your chance. God is waiting for you to speak. Come on down.
Sorry, I'm a little nervous. I've been here, this is about my fourth time. I've been here less times than I've wanted to because I work 6 days a week, sometimes 16 hours. And I didn't have the strength to come up here, but hand on me. Because the Lord has been so good to me. June 25th, I was told that I'm 6 weeks pregnant. About a week later, I was in the hospital, and I lost so much blood, and at the hospital they said they didn't have a sonogram technician, and they told me, they said based on the amount of blood that you lost, there's no need to do one, you've lost your baby, and they sent me home. But I said no. And I went home and I prayed. I prayed so much. Like never before. And my fiance, he's not a strong believer. But that night, he bowed down and he prayed with me. And the next day, I went to my doctor. And as soon as she did the ultrasound, there was a heartbeat. She told me, she said it's gonna be a miracle if you make it into the second trimester. She said, we can't promise anything. And today I'm 14 weeks and I just entered the second trimester. I just want to say thank you to the Lord. Because even when they said no, I said, it's not your word. It's his. And I know that he's going to give me a healthy baby. I thank you all, and I just ask for your prayers. Thank you.
Our God is so good, isn't he? Well, let's give God a hand.
He is good. He loves us. He's here. Thank you, worship team. And as Abe mentioned earlier, we have a special speaker today. No matter when he comes, he's still special. Pastor Henry has known him for quite a few years, a lot longer than I have. But, you know, he's become someone that we all know and we all really enjoy listening to what God gives him. It always seems to fit just where we are as a body. And so I thank God for Pastor David Swift. If you'll come up here now and give him a hand, guys.
You know, the reality is that the church is built on testimonies. And I know sometimes we get caught in what we're so used to. Like, give us four songs, 30 minutes, and, you know, send us out to eat. But there are moments, listen to me, there are moments that we need to hear what God is doing. Because we could say, if God did it for them, God will do it for me. If God is in the business of working miracles, then he's a miracle worker for all people, not some people. You know, God's everywhere all the time, or he isn't anywhere any of the time. He is God. I love what he said to Moses when Moses says, hey, who am I going to tell the king is sending me? And he says to Moses, he says, tell him I am that I am is sending you. What God was saying is, you can't compare me to the mountains because I created the mountains. You can't compare me to the oceans. I created the oceans. You can only compare God to God. And so many times we try to fit God into the construction of who we are instead of stepping out of who we are and stepping into who he is and what he can do and what he desires to do, not just in us, but through us. You know, Rebecca, I love what you were saying, but I want to tell you, at every place, at every breakthrough, there's always a spirit of intimidation. That's not just for you, that's for all of us. At every moment of growth, there will be a level of intimidation in the spirit. There will be a moment that you say, well, you know, it's funny. It's like, well, we want to love people, but we don't want to offend people. I've never been offended by people I love. I've never been offended by people that love me. I love that God uses love, but he uses not just love, but he uses truth. That truth and love have to work together. It's not just love. It's also truth. Because when I obey, when I step into the precepts of who God is, there's blessings on my life. God will love you wherever you are. But promises are fulfilled by being where God is. And sometimes well, it doesn't matter because God loves us. It does matter. Because God loved you before you got saved just as much as he loves you today. And we talk about it a lot, and I've been thinking about how we always say, well, you know, I accepted God, I brought God into my life. But really, when you get saved, It's not about bringing God just into your life. It's about stepping into his life. And too many times we want God to fit the parameters of who we are instead of saying, no, God, I want to fit who you are. The God of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the everything, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, my healer, my creator, my encourager, my restorer, my grace, my forgiveness. I want to step into who you are. And that is really the life of David. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 22. It's amazing because this season of my life, as you're turning there, I have never ministered to pastors at the rate that I'm ministering to pastors right now. That post, mid, whatever we are, COVID. But every day I'm talking to someone about something in a church. Every day I'm talking to a leader. I'm talking about strategy. I'm talking about, man, we need a word from God for this moment, encouraging, developing. Why? Because at this point, the church is really at a moment, I think, a breakthrough. But there's this intimidating factor that that is holding us. And I'm not talking about the church as in the building. I'm talking about the kingdom as you and I. That there's something that we carry that's greater than anything the world will face. And God has proven it from the beginning of time that he is a God that works all things together for our good. If you've ever been a moment where you're saying, God, where are you? When you get out of that season, you look back and realize that God was with you more in that moment than he's been with you in any moment. And so David is in a season of his life that he has watched God bless him. He has watched God move on his behalf. God has not just spoke to him, but the prophet Samuel has come and anointed him. And as Samuel has come and anointed him, Samuel prophesies over David that you will become king over Israel. That's a pretty big prophecy. Why? Because David wasn't from the right lineage. He wasn't the right person. He didn't have the right education. When Samuel called for the sons of Jesse, Jesse didn't even ask David to join the party. But God isn't someone that looks on the outward appearance, is what he speaks about David, but I looked on the inward appearance. What God is saying is, you don't know what I put in David. You may see what's around David, but I know what I built David to become. Can I tell you something? God knows what he's put in you, even if you've forgotten it. His Holy Spirit will continue to remind you of the greatness in your life, the potential of your life, the ability of your life. Because when you invite Christ in your life, it doesn't reduce your life, it breaks your life out. It's not a relationship of rules, it's a relationship of care, of allowing God not just to be your Savior, but your Lord. And those things, those are two big differences. God isn't just the God of, I'm getting to heaven. No, God is the God that says, no, I want heaven to get to me. And what you speak and what you say and what you do in my life, God, I'm going to become obedient. Because when you look at the life of David, God says he's a man after God's own heart, and yet he's a mess. I love reading the Bible because it gives me hope. I'm like, God, if you could do it with him, I'm better than him. And David's a mess, but in every mess, God brings a message. In every moment of his life, God continues to create something of possibility. And that's, if not careful, we'll live in the possibility instead of the promise. And what God spoke to David wasn't that you will overcome Goliath. That was a victory. It wasn't the promise. And if not careful, I will become okay with living in a victory instead of living in his promises. I'll be okay with just getting by instead of pressing in. Stepping into the fullness of what God has for my life, of what God is doing within my life. Because when you look at the life of David, David was successful and amazing with God in a field when no one was watching. What David did when no one was watching is what created what God did when everyone was watching. And so David shows up. David didn't show up thinking, I heard there's a Goliath here, I'm coming to kill him. David didn't show up to fight. He showed up with a blessing. That will preach. Sometimes in the church, we're showing up for a fight instead of showing up to be a blessing. David wasn't coming to Goliath with a fight. He was coming to his brothers with a blessing. He was sent by his father to feed his brothers. And in the moment, watch, in the moment he was bringing a blessing, God brought a miracle. Sometimes we miss our miracles because we miss the blessing. And so when David hears Goliath calling, David's words are, who's going to kill this guy? This guy is uncircumcised. He's not God's. He's not bigger than our God. And I love it because we were talking about it, Rebecca, that as soon as he begins to talk about how great God is, his brother Eliab says this, David, what have you done with those little sheep? He tries to minimize who David is. Anytime you step into the presence of God, the adversary will always try to minimize who you are. Because what happens so many times in the church is we believe God could do the supernatural. We believe that God is miraculous. We believe that God does all things. We're just not sure if he could do all things with us. I'll believe that God could do all things with you, but sometimes in our life, we will hinder what God will do in our life by the insecurity or the worry or the sin or the struggle. But God says, when I'm weak, he's strong. In your moments, David, is when I create a moment that I become God in your life. And so David defeats Goliath. He becomes a soldier for Saul. And in that moment, he begins to get notoriety. He literally becomes famous because when he comes in from battle, there is Israel is singing a song, and they're singing a song that says, Saul has killed thousands, but David, you've killed tens of thousands. And in that moment, Saul begins to hear something that sounds like David's greater than him. And the same man that propped him up is the same man that tries to tear him down. And here's the thing, if you'll give humanity the final say of your life, you will always live with less than what God has for you. David wasn't trying to become Saul. He was trying to become the David that God had called him to become. And it wasn't perfect, but he was willing to be perfected. It wasn't perfect, but he was in the process of hearing and loving and wanting all that God had for his life. And so in this moment, he takes off and he runs from Saul, and we pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 22. It says, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when he and his brothers, when his brothers and his father's household heard of it, they went down to him there. Verse 2, and all those who were amazing, incredible, unbelievable, life-changing. No, that's not what it says. He went from the palace to all those who were distressed, in debt, discontented, gathered around him. And it was about 400 complainers. I'll paraphrase it for you, okay? It was the dysfunctional, the disregarded. It was those that didn't know the greatness that was in them. But in that cave came the mighty men that David used to change a world. It came the next leaders, the next possibility, the next individuals that would lead Israel to something greater. And that's what I love about God, is God doesn't look at the circumstance, he looks at the potential. He's not looking at what the problem is, he's looking at the possibility of what he's put in you. And too many times in my life, I'm asking God to downsize the external instead of upsize the internal. God, would you change the problems? No, would you increase your promise, David? I'm asking God to make my life smaller, but it doesn't make him greater. What makes him greater is when I partner with a God to do things that I can never do. Become someone that I could not become. When you live your destiny, when you live the fullness of your potential, do you realize you cannot achieve your destiny without God? Because your destiny is bigger than you. Your destiny isn't just physical. It's not just numerical. It's not just financial. It's not just relational, but it's spiritual. And the Spirit of God that resides in you is the same Spirit, what? That raised Christ from the dead. It's a Spirit that overcomes. It's a Spirit that conquers. It's a Spirit that forgives. It's a Spirit that rejoices. It's a Spirit that builds. It's a Spirit that declares something greater than the moment. And so David is sitting in a cave, and he comes to the place. It's so crazy because when David leaves the palace, he runs to Gath, which is so crazy to me. Because you know what Gath is? Gath was the home of Goliath. David leaves the palace, and he runs to the enemy. You know what I've realized, if not careful? In the moment of struggle, if not careful, you'll pick up something in the flesh to relieve it instead of something in the spirit to change it. And we've got to begin to pick up things in the Spirit of God. And so David, in this moment, it's amazing because when when David goes and he defeats Goliath, God broke David out. The world discovered David when he achieved the feat of defeating Goliath. David broke out in that moment. But in the cave of Adullam, God broke in. There are moments that you'll discover God in, but then there's moments that God builds you in. The cave of Adullam wasn't an easy place, but it was a God place. See, here's what, in David's perspective, he'll change his perspective later in life, but in his moment right now, he thinks he's running from Saul. But Saul isn't in control of his life, God is. In his perception, he's thinking, this problem is making me, he's blaming a man instead of believing a God. And so he's saying, well, Saul is making me run. So he, in his perspective, is running from something. In reality, God is taking him and he's running into something. David isn't running from something. He's running into the destiny of his life. He's running into the potential that God has for him. And when you look at it, it is a moment that David, listen, God isn't trying to defeat Saul in David's life. He's trying to defeat David in David's life. It was a moment where David was surrendering who he was so God could become who God was. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 16, 24 through 26. It says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What Jesus is saying is there's a moment that you have to trust God, that God is for you. That God, I'm going to die to who I was, but I'm going to rise to who you called me to become. I'm not just after the provision of you. I'm after the promises of you. Because when I look at Israel, Israel lived by the provision of God instead of the promise of God. All the days of Moses, God provided, but they were doing circles in a desert place. There was provision, but it took a moment where Joshua began to step into the promise of the Jordan and say, no, I'm going to take ground. All I have is a word, but a word is enough. All I have is the word of God, but I'm going to stand on God's word. See, that's what happens when you're in the cave of Adullam. In the cave of Adullam, you have to have a transformation of your perspective. In the cave of Adullam, it was a dark place, it was a depressed place, and it was a place that you would have thought God would have brought David someone good. But he didn't. You know why? Because God wanted to be God in David's life. God wanted to take credit for what God was doing in David's life instead of David saying, I wouldn't be here without Saul. I wouldn't be here without my 400 mighty men. That man, they met me in the cave and we took over Israel. God gave David Israel. David never took the kingship. There's a big difference in that. Because when Saul is trying to kill David, David continues to honor Saul. We think it's about Saul, but really it's honoring what God has done in David's life. David's saying, I'm going to honor what God has put in place, even if I don't agree with it. I'm going to pray for Saul, even though I don't like him. I'm not going to come against what God has put in motion. And when God, I've surrendered my life. When God wants the motion to happen differently, God will do it. But God, I give you trust. More relationships are broken because we become so offended out of how much we love someone that we step back instead of just stepping into the presence saying, God, I'm going to love them through this season. I'm not going to give them my opinion. I'm going to give you them your love. I'm going to keep working on the things that I can work. And so the cave of Adullam was critical in the life of David because he wasn't fighting against Saul. He was fighting against himself. When you look in the Bible, when you look in Samuel, Saul is a picture of the flesh. When you read this portion of this passage of David's life, Saul, David is saying, God, what do you want from me? And Saul is saying, what are you going to do for me? Saul's verbiage in almost every moment that he's chasing David. When the priests feed David, there's a moment that David runs to the priest and they give him the sword of Goliath and feed him the showbread from the tabernacle. And Saul comes and he says, why would you help my enemy? And they said, we didn't know he was your enemy. We thought he was your warrior. And Saul tells his men, I want you to kill these priests. And they said, we will not kill the men of God. What Saul was saying is, it's about me. I don't care what God's saying. I don't care what, there's a spirit of intimidation that comes when you're about to step past where you've been and into where you're going. But if not careful, we will live a good life instead of stepping into a God life. We will settle for something good instead of something God. And there is something that God is up to in your life that only he can do. That he is partnering with you. He created you to partner with you to do something supernatural through you, for you. I love it because it gets real in Psalms 142. David is there at the cave and he writes this psalm from the cave. And I can relate with this psalm because I've said this to God before. But in verse 1 he says, with my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see. There is none who takes notice for me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. You know what David is saying? He's saying this. God, you don't even care. Where are you? You ever said that? You ever said, like, God, if we could have 5 minutes, I could change my life. Like, I know you got some ideas, but I got some really good ideas. And it has nothing to do with the cave. He is saying, God, you don't even care for me. You're watching what these people are doing in my life, and you don't even care that they're doing it. It's a moment of poor me, right? I mean, come on, we've all been there. And you know what I love about God is God's not offended by it. God's not in heaven angry. Go ahead, do that. He's not angry. He's not waiting for you to slip up. He knows you're going to slip up. He created you. He knows you're going to slip up before you slip up. But he knows his son died for not what you've done, for what you'll ever do. That his forgiveness, that his blood, that his love, that his grace covers you all of the days of your life. So he's not seeing the problem. He's seeing the promise. He's saying, okay, so you messed up. Let's get going. You know, sometimes we think God is a ladder. It's like we're climbing up this ladder trying to get to God. And when we fail, we fall all the way down. We got to start climbing again. But I don't see it that way. Following God is taking a walk. When you fall down, you don't go back home and start again. You get up where you are and say, no, God, you're strong enough. We're good enough. We're going somewhere. David is saying, God, don't you care? Like, God is so busy, he's not paying attention. And in this moment, I think this is the struggle that some of us come with, that I wrestle with. Is I forget what God has done to get me here. And I only become focused on what he's not doing while I'm here. But the God that got me here is the God that will get me there. The miracles that got me here, there's more miracles to get me to the next season of my life. And I love there's a progression of David. There's a progression of faith. There's a progression of what he's saying and what he's wanting and where he's going. There's a moment he's saying, God, don't you care? Thomas is sitting with the disciples and Jesus is raised from the dead. And they're saying, Jesus raised from the dead. And Thomas says, no, he didn't. And it's like, yeah, we know he did. Mary, she came back. He's raised from the dead. No, he didn't. Jesus dead. Guys, get over it. It's dead. We were wrong. That's Thomas in a room. And Thomas literally says this, unless Jesus comes in here and shows me his scars, I'll never believe it. This is his disciple. And we look at that guy, I can't believe that guy, but how many times have we done it? Right? And I love it because Jesus doesn't open the door, he just shows up. Hey, Thomas. Oh, hey. And Jesus isn't mad, he's not angry, he's not, Thomas, you're ridiculous. This is what I was talking about, this guy. He doesn't say that. He says, here it is. If this is what you need, Thomas, then I'm here to show you that I love you, that there's more, that there's possibility for your life, that you're stuck, but my love is greater than the place you're stuck in. My faith is greater than the moment you're stuck in. My promise is bigger than your problem. I've got something greater for your life. And the faith that David knows begins to build, because in Psalms 145, he says this, and I will exalt you, Lord. I love it because in one moment he's saying, God, where are you? And then he catches himself and he thinks, wow, remember the lion? Remember the bear? Remember Goliath? Remember the battle with Jonathan? Remember all the things. God, you have been good, and I exalt you. My God, the King, I will praise your name forever and ever. And every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. No generation can fathom it. One generation commends your works to another, and they tell of your mighty acts. I love it because you know what? It's humanity. It's humanity that sometimes we get caught in our moment, but if we allow the Spirit to come within our life, it will build a momentum in the moment. I'm believing the sweetheart that, thank you for your testimony. Because I have a friend in the hospital in Oklahoma that we're believing for the impossible for. Sometimes you just got to say, God, you're still the God of the impossible. You're still the God that does miracles. And it's not for them, it's for me. That there was a word in David's life and the word of God was enough. Samuel said, you will be the next king. It wasn't that you're going to overcome Goliath. It wasn't that you're going to become a mighty warrior. But in the cave, when there wasn't great victory, he was saying, but God said, me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. But God said that by his stripes, I'm healed. And God said that his love is greater, that his forgiveness is more, that his grace is sufficient, that his love pushes me beyond all the struggles of my life. See, that's the word of God. That the word of God builds my life. But the word of God builds it, but I got to step into the goodness of God. There's a faith that has to create an action past the intimidation, past the insecurity, past the doubt. And in this season, so many people have been isolated that it's like isolation creates a struggle. Because you know what God created you for? Relationship. Relationship this way and relationship this way. And this relationship is greater. It's greater. It's greater. That God isn't just for you, he's with you. That we're moving into new places, and God is placing sometimes an uphill struggle, but his strength is enough. God's not looking over the banister of heaven and going, whoa, oh man, you're in trouble. Good luck. But we're asking like God doesn't see us in our moments. Saul didn't design the cave of Adullam. David didn't design the cave of Adullam. God designed the cave of Adullam for David. Because God was about to do something in David that no one else could do in David. He was bringing something to the life of David, of his spirit, that was going to change everything. When you step into God's presence, it changes everything. It changes everything. What worship team, why don't you come? Sometimes what happens is we've been worshiping worry so much out there. When we come in here, there has to be a transition to worship God. It's like we've been worshiping what's wrong. What do you mean by that, David? Whatever you put your thought to is what you worship. If your thought is this isn't going to happen and this isn't going to happen and this isn't going to happen and this, and then you come in and the presence of God moves into the impossible, it's like your mind has to start resetting. But if not careful, God will do a work in your life today and you'll meet worry at the door. You'll meet the problem at the door instead of saying, no, I'm walking out of here with a promise. I'm walking out of here declaring the destiny of my life, not the destitute of my life. I'm walking out of here declaring my healing. I'm walking out of here talking about a God that restores all things. Not some things. He restores all things. It's who he is. It's who he is. And it's what he's after. And I just want to take a moment. I want to take a moment. In your moment, maybe you're here and you just say, you know what, David, I'm in a moment. I come to church, I got the smile, I got the Christian. Hey, praise God. Sometimes we have the worst family fights on the way to church. I know you guys are super Christian, so I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. It's like we get in these fights and as soon as the door opens in the parking lot, it's like, praise the Lord. Your kids are like, you were beating me 5 minutes ago. Shut up, kid. That's all in the blood of Jesus. He's forgiven us. Because there's always an intimidation. There's always a sit down when God wants you to stand up. There's always a worry when there's about to be worship. There's always a lingering thought of what if it doesn't when you're declaring it will. But there's an action that has to come with the anointing on your life that says, no, I'm going to step in. I find it unique that Israel, that God with Moses did the miracles for him. And they became people that just relied on the provision of God. But when they began to step for the promises of God, God said, I'm not going to do it for you. I'm going to do it with you. I'm going to do life with you. So I want you... You're not going to get the staff and stretch it over the Jordan. Joshua, I want you to step in the Jordan and believe me for a miracle. I want you to step in with me. I want you to step in with me. I don't want you to wait. I want you to hold. I just want you to step where I step. Believe what I believe. Declare what I'm declaring in your spirit. And watch me do the impossible in your life. And maybe you're stuck in a moment. And I'm going to move pretty quick here. But if you feel like you're stuck and... I would say it this way. You know there's more, but you feel like you're living with less. You feel like, if not careful, you're going to settle for second instead of God's best. You're just weary. You've gotten tired. That's David in the first Psalm of 142. By 144, he's saying, I'm going to praise you. By 145, he's like, you make me battle worthy. You take me to new places. Today, God wants to do something in you that's not going to change everything. It's not going to stop everything out there, but it has the ability to change everything out there. God wants to upsize you to make you greater than what's trying to downsize you. And that's you. You just, man, you connect with that. Man, I need encouragement today. Man, I know there's more, but I feel like I'm stepping backwards instead of stepping forward. I feel like I'm stuck in a moment. If that's you, wherever you are, would you just stand with me today? I don't want to embarrass you, not trying to call you out, but I think there's a faith of like, no, I'm going to stand for something. I can sit for anything, but I want to stand for something. You just feel like there's more in this season. Wherever you are. You know, there's some, I really just felt like the Lord said, it's funny because even when you said that, people are like, man, I don't even know if I want to stand in this season. It's crazy how that works. It's sometimes you push through a season so hard that you don't have the energy to start the next season. It's like, God, I barely made it through that. And it almost stalls you out for the next season, but there's a presence of God that fills you up for the next. The anointing of yesterday is yesterday. Today, God says, I make all things new. I have a spirit that joins you in the morning for that day, for this season, for this moment, that I want to do greater things in your life. And you know what you've realized if you look around? That we're not alone. We're not alone in what we're feeling, which means God is after you today. He's after it. And I want to pray for you. Just, I don't know how you're doing it, Pastor, but maybe just where you are. I know there's concerns. I don't think there's any problem with being concerned. Obviously, we're not controlled by fear. We're controlled by faith. But can I tell you something? God will move right where you are right now. And he'll move in your car. He'll move in your house. He'll move in your driveway. He'll move on a walk. Because what God did is God took David to a hidden place so he could do in his life something that was going to sustain him, not for victories, but for the promise. What God was doing in David's life wasn't about Goliath. It was about the promise, the word of God that was on his life to become king over Israel and lead Israel's people back to God. You know what, for a lot of us, we just got to get back to the things we know. I got to get back to his word. I got to get back to prayer. I got to get back to faith. I got to get back to declaring something. Not complaining, declaring. Not worrying, worshiping. When I leave this place, I'm not going to take the call of yesterday. Hey, just want to remind you, this is still going on. Yeah, but you don't know what God did in my life. Greater is he who's in me. Greater is he who's in me. I'm more than a conqueror. I want you just to put your hand on your heart today. Because this is what this, I feel like this is a prophetic word for the church in this season. Because I'm telling you, Rebecca, intimidation can't hold you. You know the difference between what God is asking you and the worry of, I'm uncomfortable. And I say this in all the love, and you know I do. God doesn't care about you being comfortable. God isn't trying to make you comfortable. He's trying to put a conviction in you. For God, whatever you say, I'll do. If you want me to speak in tongues, I'm going to speak in tongues. If you want me to sing, I'm going to sing. If you want me to preach, I'm going to preach. If you want me to pay for someone's groceries, I'm going to pay for someone's groceries. If you want me to encourage someone, I'm going to encourage them. I am breaking off the heaviness of worry, and I'm stepping into your presence. I'm stepping in for a new season. For a new season, my friend. For a new season. A new season saying, I will not go back. I will not live with less. And I'm not talking about stuff. I'm talking about him. I'm talking about presence and power and anointing and authority. I'm going forward. I'm breaking out of this place. And I'm bringing some people I love with me. That's what I love about the Cave of Adullam, is it didn't just change David. It changed everyone. It's not just going to change you. It's going to change this church. It's going to change your family. It's going to change the surroundings. It's going to change your job. God needs you. What's better is God wants you. That's who he is. But it starts here in our heart. Lord, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I come against every attack in this room. I come against every vain imagination. I come against every fear. I come against anxiety and worry. I come against the doubt that has somehow gripped all of us in this season. But Lord, greater are you, that you said in your word about David that you stooped out of heaven to make him great. And Father, I pray that you stoop out of the heavens and bring greatness within our life, godness within our life, that we're not after good, we're after God. We're not after just a provision. We're after your promises. We're after our future. We're after our kids' future. We're after our family's future. We're after this church's future. We're after the kingdom's future. Then I'm not trying to get to heaven as much as I'm trying to get heaven to us. Lord, that changes everything. And today, Father, I pray that you would put a conviction in us. Lord, that we break the string of complaining. As soon as I feel a complaint, I'm going to start praising. As soon as I start speaking in doubt, I'm going to start saying what God has done. God, I remember when you healed my child. I remember when you saved me. I remember when you came to me when I had nothing. That you're the same God today. You're the God that's the same yesterday, today, and you are the God of forever. I surrender. Lord, Holy Spirit, today, move. Move in hearts. Move in lives. There is a presence in God's power that you got to step into. When you're in trouble, you step into the presence. Not something that will relieve you, but something that will empower you. There's a power in your life. It's the Holy Spirit. And it's greater than all things. Lord, I speak all things. I speak a fulfillment in all things. I speak a future to this church that is greater, to families that are greater, to individuals that are greater. Lord, break us out. Break us out. Lord, break in to our life. Lord, we speak these things in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we come. In the name of Jesus, we declare your goodness, your power, your authority, your blessing. We're not going to get caught up in what we think you're not doing, but God, I want to know what you are doing. I want to get caught up in the presence of a God that says, I'm going to do immeasurably more than you can think or imagine. I'm going to work all things together for those who love me. I'm after you. I'm for you, I'm with you, and I'll never leave you. That's who you are, God. And we give you praise, and we give you love, and we give you, Lord, our adoration today in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? I know pastor's gonna come or one of the pastors, but I just look at me for a second. This is a word that isn't meant for here. It's a word that's meant for when you walk out there. The adversary could care less if you get blessed in church as long as he can catch you in the parking lot. Some of us are one horn honk away from backsliding on Monday morning. It's like one traffic jam away from like, God, thank you for yesterday, but I'm about to kill someone today. One argument away, and what's going to happen, listen, you have to have a discernment, say, oh no, I'm not falling into that this week. I'm worshiping God. I'm not gonna let my anger, I'm not gonna let my flesh, I'm not gonna let my worry, I'm not gonna let my doubt, I'm not gonna let my anxiety. No, God, you are greater. And if you're for me, who could be against me? There's no one that could be against me with you. You are for me. You're for me. And I say this today because this season, I'm doing more ministry than, my ministry isn't even in the church as much as it's with people. I love, I make a living by going and preaching. That's really how I make my living. I get that. But I live my call by encouraging people. That's my call. My living is to preach, right? But my call is to encourage, inspire. I have never talked to more people than I've talked to in this season of my life. And I'm talking everyone. And I want to encourage you, do that. Be a voice of God. Be a voice of encouragement. Be a voice where you begin to see what's right with people instead of what's wrong with people. Be a voice where you begin to speak inspiration to your pastors. inspiration. Man, I know maybe it's not all that we thought right now, but man, I see great things coming. It is so easy to find what's wrong. But I love that God doesn't find what's wrong with me. He finds what's right with me. I love that God says, man, I've already forgiven what's wrong with you, David. Let's go with what's right with you. Let's declare the greatness in your life. Let's declare the possibility. Let's go after the future. That's a good God. Amen. Come on, can we give God praise today?
Thank you, Pastor Swift. Church, may I just remind you, sometimes we stand here. Please sit down. We stand here and we listen to the word that God gives our pastors. And just as Pastor Swift says, sometimes we walk out that door. And that was nice for that morning. Let's stand in that place that God has given us. We're His feet. We're His hands. We are what the world is looking for. We're the hope of this, not only the church, but this nation. Yeah. We are the hope. And if we don't show a difference, why would they want to be like us? Why would they want to be like Jesus? We would just be a laughingstock because we're no different. So let's don't walk out of here and say, oh, that was a nice word. Walk out of here with that power that God has given us. And every time, whether it's Pastor Henry, Pastor Swift, myself, whoever's up here, don't just mark it down as another Sunday. Live it. Live it. There was one more thing that we were asked to do this morning. There was a lady that used to come to our church. She moved away from here, what, maybe a couple of years ago? Yeah, Oklahoma, right? Yeah, a lady from Oklahoma. There you go. You know that place, right? But anyway, we were asked that her name was Wendy Johnson, if you don't remember her. But I guess her mom died just a couple of days ago or yesterday. So we were asked if we could just lift her up in prayer. We all know that the miles don't matter, right? Because God is with her at that place. And just as we're talking about, sometimes we go through these times where there is loss, there is heartache, and yet we know that our God is with us, right? So help, just join me in prayer as we pray for Wendy. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that we can trust. We can trust in your healing hand upon Wendy, Lord, and her family. Lord, we've all had losses in our lives, and yet somehow you come through, Lord, and you walk us through those times, Lord. You heal our hearts. You heal our minds, Lord. And for some of us, it takes a while. For others, Lord, it takes forever. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that forever you're there. Forever you walk with us. And Lord, that we know that there is healing, Lord. And that one day, Lord, we will see our loved ones, Lord. That we have trust in.
Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
We praise you, Lord. We thank you for what we've heard today. Lord, I ask that you would bless your people. Bless every person that is sitting here today, Lord. And just as Pastor said, take them there. That they would not stay where we are today. That we would not stay where we are, Lord. That we would go where you are leading us to. We thank you. We praise you. And I guess you're going to do a song?
Yeah.
Okay, worship team's going to come right back. You guys are free to go whenever that is completed. Oh, hold on. I guess we have another word.
Hola, hermano. I believe that the Holy Spirit would have us to respond to this message this morning. There is an anointing. How many understand an anointing? There is a presence. And the Holy Spirit spoke. He admonished. He instructed. And the Holy Spirit is wanting you. You know the admonishment is, don't leave here and leave your stuff at the parking lot. The admonishment is this, and the instruction, respond to this message. Pastors, will you come up, please? Come on, both of you. There is a place where I believe, is this okay, Pastor? There is a place that the Holy Spirit wants to give you right now, today, before you leave. to respond to the message of what was given to us this morning. It was an amazing message that can bring us down to the place where the rubber meets the road. And that is, it's one thing to agree and say amen. It's another thing to make a commitment. I will do what the Holy Spirit spoke through this oracle of God. And so the whole idea behind this, come and respond to the message that the Holy Spirit spoke to each and every one of us. Come and let them minister to you. Let them cause you to receive the anointing through either the laying of the hands or the prayer of faith. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying, come, let me speak to you. There's more. Why? Because God is always working behind the scenes. Don't be content to stay on this side of the Jordan like 2.5 tribes did. He says, come to the other side where the promise is. And those that crossed over, there was more. So come. Pastor, if that's okay, please respond to this message this morning.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.